Dan Auerbach's on the phone with us, and a new solo record. You know, Dan, a lot of people, after they finish up some big projects, just decide to take a vacation, maybe go down to the beach somewhere and have a drink, but not you. this new solo album follows the Black Keys record, and then the tour, and then the Arx record and the tour. What prompted you to go into the studio and cut another record so soon?
It was basically because I'd just written a bunch of songs. I started writing last summer with some different songwriters from Nashville. And it just kind of snowballed into recording another record, basically.
Yeah, there's no shortage of songwriters in Nashville. How did you hook up with John Prine?
My buddy Fergie introduced me to John a long time ago when I first moved to Nashville. He took me down to the Station Inn, and I watched him do a set. You know, just sort of became friendly with him, and we wrote together a few times, me and John and Pat McLaughlin, who's Prine's, you know, right-hand man. And yeah, he's a great guy. Amazing, amazing songwriter.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting combination, just being familiar with your music and his. I never would have listened to you two and thought, well, these guys are going to work together sometime. But it worked out well. I mean, it sounds great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I should mention that the album is called Waiting on a Song. It's out June 2nd. Another guest who pops up on the record is Mark Knopfler. How did that come together?
Well, I'd recorded this song called Shine On Me. And I was listening to playback, and the thought popped in my head that Mark Knopfler should play on this record. It sort of sounds like he's already on there.
Right.
And so I sent him the song. I'd never met him, but I had my manager send him the song and just ask nicely. And 2 days later, he sent it back with his guitar on there. So
well,
that's how it went.
That's pretty good. Have you met him since or talked to him or anything?
No.
Oh, all right.
I mean, we spoke on the phone once, and I just, you know, thanked him and... But that was it. Yeah, I've never met him in person. Next time I go to London, hopefully we meet up.
Right. When you put out a record and it's just yours, it's a solo effort, it's Dan Auerbach is the name that's going to be on there, do you feel a little more freedom than when you're maybe working with Patrick or the guys from the Arx?
I mean, I don't know how I feel necessarily. It's just, I guess it's not freedom. There's definitely more unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know exactly what people are going to think or... You know, because people, you know, when you put out a Black Keys record, people have a preconceived notion usually of what it will be or what they want it to be. I think it's maybe a little bit more open or when I put out my own thing.
Right, yeah. A little more freedom maybe in the sense that you can experiment or try some different things. Now, you also have your own record label now called Easy Eye Sound. Mm-hmm. That's a cool name. How'd you come up with that?
Well, that's the name of my studio. So,
oh.
After years of sort of making records and giving them to different labels to put out, I just decided to kind of take it one step further and just sort of start doing my stuff.
Waiting on a Song is going to be the first record released on your label, but you'll have some other bands coming along as well, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're working on stuff right now, finishing records up, having them mastered, and we have a bunch of records to put out this year.
Yeah, really difficult to find people to record with in Nashville, right? To find
super
talent.
Difficult.
Yeah, that talent pool is pretty dry. I read somewhere that you had, you said you'd written a bunch of songs and it turned into a recording thing, but I read somewhere that you had close to 200 songs written. What happened to those? Are we going to hear some of those eventually, or do they all just get thrown away? What do you do with those songs that don't make the record?
You know, I'm not really sure. To be honest, I've never had this many extra songs. I don't know. I don't know exactly what you do with extra songs.
Right.
You're like an orphanage you send them to.
Yeah. Well, what you need to do is build yourself a big vault, like a prince-like vault, and you can just start putting them in there, I guess.
I'm going to build a song orphanage.
People can go and adopt them.
You can go there and adopt the song and have a home.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. What you said you've never had this many extra songs. Has there been something that's really been driving that sort of creativity for you lately, or has it just come out
of
nowhere?
Really, it was just I just started writing every single day with all these different people, and it was I don't know. I just really got into I don't know.
Yeah,
it just felt like a you know, I've always been very blue collar about what I do and the way that I work. You know, I always really love work, and so I always put it first, and I work hard when I'm working. And this just made it easier for me to kind of wake up in the morning and have a schedule of writing and recording, and it just was really nice. I really got into it.
Yeah, I saw that you had said when you guys were working on this record that you would get up and start at 9 a.m. or whatever, start writing. And stop, you know, whenever. And then that was the first part of the week. And then the back half of the week, you would do the same thing with recording. And I thought, well, that sounds like a 9-to-5 job almost, not like the rock star lifestyle, Dan. Come on.
It's sort of like 9 to 2 a.m.
Oh, wow. Sort of those are some long hours.
But no, I mean, I love it. I mean, I was so excited to go to the studio every day, and I still am, that it doesn't ever feel like work.
Right, yeah, that certainly would make it a lot easier. When I was on your the Easy Eye Sound website, by the way, I don't know who designed it, but it looks really, really cool. And I was on there looking around.
My friend Perry.
Oh, well,
shout out to Perry.
Yeah, good work, Perry.
Perry Schaustein over in Philly.
Yeah, he killed it on that website. It really looks awesome. But I noticed you made the decision for some reason to put this out on 8-track. What was that about?
Well, we found a guy who makes 8-tracks in Los Angeles, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It was my friend Tom who helps run the label, Tom Osborne, one of the great minds of our generation. He came up with that idea.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you know what? We were like, you're insane. That's insane. And they sold out in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It made me, it took me back though. I remember you and I are about the same age. And when I was a kid, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years old, my dad bought an old pickup truck. And the only thing that worked in it was the 8-track player. So we would drive around listening to those 8-tracks.
I thought you meant like the truck didn't even work.
Oh, no. The truck worked. Just the stereo didn't work, but for some reason the 8-track player did. And he had Bob Seger's Live Bullet, and that was the only 8-track he owned. And we would just listen to that over and over again.
That's amazing.
touching again on the album, waiting on a song. The song Malibu Man, I really love that. And from what I understand, that was... inspired by or in tribute to Rick Rubin. What brought that on?
Well, you know, I wrote it with my friend Fergie, and Fergie's worked with Rick a bunch. He worked on all of the, he engineered all the Johnny Cash recordings that Rick did. And so he lived out there and worked with him a bunch. We're just buddies with him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Just sort of, more of like a tribute.
Yeah. He's a cool guy to write a song in tribute to. He's kind of like a Zen Buddhist master of music and producing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You've done quite a bit of producing for other bands. Do you feel, what's that experience like? Because do you approach it differently than when you're working on one of your records or something with the Black Keys or the Arcs? When you're working in, like, the Cage the Elephant record, is it approached differently?
It's always different. It's always different. You know, every project is different. Every day is different. That's why it's so exciting to be in the studio. But, you know, I do have to use, I guess, different parts of my brain when I do my own record, as opposed to when I do someone else's, you know. And I think that helps keep it fresh for me. Every day is something a little bit different.
Do you ever come up with something that might be considered a radical idea when you're producing for somebody else and wonder, maybe I shouldn't say that? Is it that sort of thing? No.
I mean, okay. That's not. That's what you hope for when you're in the studio. I mean, that's what you're going for. You want to try to always kind of push yourself, I guess.
Yeah.
Nothing is off limits ever. That's not what, you know, everybody's here to like push themselves and try stuff and see what happens.
Yeah, and it seems to be working out. Cage the Elephant won the Grammy for Best Rock Album. So that you pretty proud of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, we all worked really hard on that record, and I love those guys. They're really great people, and couldn't be happier for them.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about Shine On Me. That's the first single from your new record, and I watched the video, and that's pretty trippy. It's like you're a race car driver in an otherwise animated world. And some interesting stuff going on in that video. How important do you think videos are today?
Well, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know what's important.
Yeah. What did you?
I try to stay locked inside my studio and really not, you know, look at the outside world at all anymore.
Yeah. I didn't know if you put a lot of thought and effort into when it comes to videos for your songs, or you just sort of show up and do what they want you to do, or.
Well, I mean, you know, I get to kind of pick who does the video, and you know, I think generally you have people send ideas. You send a song out to a few people that you like and have them send you treatment ideas, and you pick the one that you like. And Steven, the guy who did that video, he sent that idea in full on paper and a couple of examples of the type of animation he'd want to do. And I just thought it was really fun and a great idea. And it was that one was mostly Steven. You know, I just kind of let him go with it, let him direct it, and I just went along for the ride, really.
Yeah, it turned out really great. It really is an entertaining video.
I love it.
How do you, with so much going on, I mean, it seems like you've got a completely full schedule all the time. How do you decide what's next? Like, how do you pick the next project that you want to work on?
Well, I have to be genuinely interested in it. I don't do anything that I'm not 100% stoked on. You know, yeah. That's it.
What's next for you? Do you have any plans now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the studio as we speak. I guess I'm finishing up records. We're sending some albums to master to release this year. So that's kind of what we're doing right now.
All right.
Finishing touches on a bunch of different records I did.
Are you planning to tour behind this this new record of yours, or are you going to try and take
really
it easy?
I'm not really sure. We have a couple things lined up, but no tours yet. So I'm not really sure. I guess we're just... Anything's possible, but for now, there's nothing on the books.
Yeah. That has to be nice to be back in Nashville and be back home. I mean, it seems like you've been on the road forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we made our lives and made our living on the road. It feels weird kind of being in one place for so long, but I'm starting to kind of settle in, and I really like it.
Yeah, not getting cabin fever, ready to just pack up and go visit some other town for a little while?
No, not at all.
All right, man.
Stay off of airplanes.
That's Dan Auerbach. The new album is Waiting on a Song. It'll be out June 2nd. Dan, you're a super busy guy. I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much, man. Take care.
Yeah, you too.